he's fucking up the comet.
Oh, here comes Roxy. Roxy with some new patterns. What, Roxy? What have you seen?
Yes, it seems that Bob actually was always related or linked to the big...
The big bank's too big to fail. Yeah, the guy's too big to fail.
Yeah.
The big banker.
Jimmy cracked the head of corn, and he don't give a fuck.
That's how you become wealthy, Mark. The degree you don't give a fuck.
Don't care. You don't care.
You.
Then they dump. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. And Bob is a man who wears no pants.
Yeah, Mark, the other day this doctor called me. He's got a whole bunch of money. He says he wants to start clinics and he wants to do a big website and put all the best products up there. And was I interested? And I said, no. You know, what's the point? I've got a handful of products that do everything. Why would I consider anything else? Oh, well, we could put you on the board and you could vet other products. I said, I just dumped them all.
Yeah.
I said, you can have, access to promoting my products and you won't get paid for it because all the profit of a wholesale goes to the customer. I said, I'm doing a different model and I don't need anybody else to promote. So he was dumbfounded.
Then she smiled.
I left him.
Then she smiled and then she said, smiled and said, yes, and you can suck it.
Well, Carolyn, you have,
I did
you
not.
Have,
didn't.
You could have, though. You could have, though. It would have been all right. It
I
would have been all right.
I
you could have.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Mark.
See, Carolyn, you have products that really help people. Why would you want to get involved with being on the board and seeing products that don't do anything, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I said, why confuse people with 1,000 products
that don't work?
That don't work just so you can make a 10% profit of putting them on your site. I said, it's over.
Yeah. Hey, now, Ion, I'm excited about this restructure coming out. Is that going to build muscle?
We can't say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Say yes.
No, you told us not to say. We got to keep it quiet. If we tell them about the amino acid stuff, if we let it slip out about the amino acid stuff, then they're going to go ape crazy.
Right.
Then the He-Man barbarian people are going to go crazy. They're going to abuse it. They're going to take advantage of it. They're going to blow up like big old damn balloons. And you're going to say, Ion, we told you, do not say anything. We said, okay, we won't say anything. We didn't say anything. So let it be known exactly. We didn't say a thing.
Yeah, Mark, that's all because I want the restructure for people who need to eat more protein, the weak ones, which Ion hates me pampering the weak ones who need a good sort. He wanted it all right
scoops.
From the beginning for the crazy athletes so they could build up their pecs. That's why he's always after after Bert's pecs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'll do both.
He can get it. There's no question. It's good.
Okay. Good.
You know, Mark, you gotta understand that it's gonna do all kinds of stuff that you can't even measure.
Got RNA. It has got a concentration of the eye cells in there. Sometimes you can actually feel them. They're a little gritty, a little bit of grittiness. People complain, there's grittiness in here. Well, love the grit, guys. Love the grit. You got your eye cell, your eye stone, your eye block right there. You don't have to wait for the 400-pound eye block. You're drinking it.
Right. Now, can you say what size canister is going to come in? Is it going to be a 1-pound?
Oh, yeah. Let me just look. We just, it's in the warehouse now, so it'll be soon. It's 594 gram, 22 servings.
Okay.
And it tastes awesome. It's just...
Okay.
Delicious, and there's no added
use
sugar.
Use cold water.
That I usually do protein powders, So I'm almost finished with my current powder, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
The Cosmos at Large.
It's so very big.
It's so far away.
Come in,
the greatest,
the greatest.
The residual echo. The residual echo. The residual echoes from the giant explosion where they said it began. The germs from space.
The negative virus did fail.
The globulin suit.
That's right, the globulin suit.
It's made of rubber, it's very ugly. It's got an air hose.
The guy that has it all has a space ray.
The first conversation I had with you a couple of years ago, we talked about Johnson Matthey and their unconventional way of bringing ore into their business. And this happened last year, but I just noticed that a Japanese firm bought Johnson Matthey. So they sold out.
They did not sell out. They were merged, and it was from the mountain through Japan because it's a Hong Kong corporation.
Okay. So, and they obviously
look at the board. Look at the board of directors. Two of the trustees. Oh wait, we can't talk about that. Sorry.
Okay. So it has a Chinese influence.
No, it doesn't.
We said the mountain.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is they obviously knew that they could get silver ore in through other worlds when they merged.
Bob does.
Okay. Hey, here's something else. A couple of financial-related things, and then, you know, I'll shift gears. I saw a photograph of a press release a couple months ago from the Treasury Department, and the photo had Jack Lew, you know, the secretary at the lectern, and he was played by Loretta
Secretary of the Treasury Lynch.
Loretta Lynch, Attorney General, and the Joint Chief of Staff Chairman, General Joseph Dunsford. And I thought that was very odd that a general would be standing there with the Treasury Department. And then this week, Obama comes out with an executive order where he's putting together a succession plan for the Treasury Department in the event that the secretary or the undersecretary are killed, unable to perform, resign. Is there some relationship between the photograph and the general and this executive order?
Yes.
My first gut when I saw that, the general involved, is, I know this sounds way out there, but is there, and this may be hot, but is there a coup going on?
It's been going on since Dobbstown.
Okay, so, and you're at the center of it,
Where do you mean it, Mark? You go, is there a coup going? Where? Where?
In the U.S. government. Question. See, here's the point. Obama's got 4 months left.
Yeah, but there's many departments. There's many departments. What is the U.S. government? Come on, you got to be more specific.
Okay, well, I'm talking about the Treasury Department. And, you know, that's critical because they control the currency. And it seems pretty odd that 4 months before Obama leaves office, he's making this revision to publishing an executive order dealing with the succession of the Treasury in the event something happens. And after you get the secretary, undersecretary, and legal counsel, they list chief of staff, but they don't say that's the military chief of staff, the joint chief of staff. Is that what they're referring to there, Ion?
No, it's a deflection.
It's a deflection. So Can you elaborate on that? It's a deflection by
a shy holding.
Well, they're the company that took over Johnson Matthey.
Yes, very good. Let's spell it for Bob, because it's A-S-A-H-I. Or he could look in his portfolio, but that would be troublesome. It's like his inbox. It goes away. Sometimes it's fleeting. It's so much fun, though.
Okay, so you're saying that this merging with Ashai and Johnson Matthey is related to the executive order and the general? Are we saying that?
Basically.
Okay. Then that brings, I'm going to tie another thing in here, is China has just been admitted to the special drawing rights basket of world currencies. And that's
peg.
Officially
the peg.
But they're officially going to be included in that on October 1st of this year. And, you know, I put something on the chat line to Phil earlier, but it's my understanding that at that time they have to divulge their official gold holdings. And there's been a lot of secrecy around that because they don't export anything. They're one of the biggest producers of gold and silver, and yet it's not allowed to leave their country, and they still import gold and silver. So there's some discussion on the Internet that there may be a sixth currency added to that basket, and that being gold.
There will be. It won't be gold. There's not enough of it. See, Bob sees things this way. We put Bob into three different colors: fresh blue, energy red, and natural green. They must be balanced, and that's the way Bob wants it. There was nothing you could do. Nothing you could do. It was Bob. That's the way he wants it. We're going to bury those dead bodies. We've gotten them already prepped, and they've all been thoroughly filled with formaldehyde, pickled as they were, for all of posterity within the confines of the tiniest of notes. And so now we're going to do it this way. It's going to be ever so much fun.
Okay.
Put over here in the notes, Bob, put an email to yourself. This is where Bob took over the world. Yay!
You know, Ion, a couple themes that you've been very consistent on throughout the years is that RNA drops will become the new currency, and all the gold will be shipped to Bob, or is being shipped to Bob.
He already owns it.
Well, I know. He just doesn't have physical possession. But, you know, I was watching...
Who said? Just because he doesn't know that, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Bob doesn't know where the fuck he is right now.
Okay.
That's
oh,
right.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, you're watching over it.
Too much projection.
What? Why would people be sending Bob their gold?
Oh, because he has 10 codes. Bob has 10 codes that he goes by every single time. This is it. Ready? Here's the top 10. Number 10. Bob will not overlook in the slightest detail, understanding thoroughly actual sites, actual products, and actual situations. Number 9. Bob will not act or behave in a manner that profits any affiliated individual or group, understanding that all work-related activities are for the greater good of Bob. Number 8, Bob will not provide or participate in meals, entertainment, or gift-giving of personal gain. Number 7, Bob will not disclose staff or client information obtained for business purposes, nor will we release unpublished technological, financial, or personal-related information. Furthermore, Bob will not buy or sell stocks or other financial instruments based on internal and confidential information. Number 6, Bob will not behave in any way that obstructs fair competition or finding ideal business partners in all transactions. Number 5, Bob will not conduct business or services with clients in a dishonest or inappropriate manner. Number 4, Bob will not conduct political or religious activities at the workplace or other work-related venues without permission. Number 3, Bob will not discriminate on the basis of age, race, nationality, sex, type, or sex. Number 2, Bob will not judge or act on contradiction to social rules, customs, or other conscience. And the top one, here we go. Bob will not act in violation of any relevant regulations or standards.
Okay. That's a good song. I've unmuted everybody. We've had an incredible 2 hours or more. Fun listening to Chad work out the chart. That was his first session. He had talked to Ian about it on rewrite or about triangulation. He had no idea what he was going to get into. And it's interesting listening to his responses. We have Michael here. Michael wrote to me, left a message about 6 weeks ago. I couldn't make out what it was, but he had a lot of significance. And where is the – oh, got to go over here. Had a lot of interesting implied anomalies. So, Michael, could you tell us what the heck happened to you if you can do it in public?
Easily. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're clear.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so it's like a continuous unfolding of glimpses of what – your life to be if you engage in Iandom and the drops and mag and everything that you guys produced. And one of the interesting things is to be healthy is what Ion has stated on multiple occasions. And last time I was watching on Netflix the show Heal, and I think it's at 48 minutes. There is some chiropractor who starts to talk about how we imprint our life, similar to what Michael Brown brought the presence process upon. And the imprinting that he was referring to, if you're three or four and you have an upsetting event, well, how you interact is the same way you'll interact in anything that's upsetting. And so I'm sitting next to Gloria, and I said, Gloria, that is so right. You do that, and I do that. And she thought I was going to say she yelled, but no, she has like a tantrum where she just like gets so emotionally like repped up from an experience that she had when she was three or four to current day. And but Michael Brown had stated in the presence process, we can't change the experiences that we had, but we can change how we experience that. Well, take it to current times. Ion has said no matter what you're dealing with, and Bob and Carol have said that you have to just face it head on and go into it. And this doctor said the exact same thing, because it's in your subconscious and you can't run from it in the same fashion that you would run from a shadow. But if you face it, then the shadow stops, and then you pretty much gain mastery over it. That's my imposition. But there are so many things that I experience on a regular basis. Like tonight we were watching One Crazy Planet with Will Smith, and I'm sitting next to Gloria, and I say to her something about like, oh yeah, I'm trapped in, you know, my computer code that I was doing. A second before, Will Smith says dinosaurs are trapped in the freeze after the meteor that hit them and abolished dinosaur life. A couple of days ago, I'm reading where I work at Bank of America about this woman called Anne, for a comedy or something. She's their advertising VP or director, whatever title she has. It says she entered the Hall of Fame as I'm listening to stuff about the Super Bowl. And they say at the exact same time, Jerry Rice is a Hall of Fame receiver. And he said this should have happened during the game. There are times where I'll be completely stuck. And I'll just think about, oh yeah, well, don't worry about it. And like minutes later, I'll just hit an elation point because I sidestep that. And then like something will come into my mind that will be like perfect. So that is almost six years on the drops.
That's what's been happening. I didn't catch anything or much of what you were saying. It was too muffled or something. I don't know if I got a bad phone or did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you clear. It's just that you muffle your speech sometimes. Do other people hear? Susanna, what did he tell us? Susanna, what did he tell us?
Oops, sorry, I was muted. So, yeah, he does sound a bit muffled, like he's speaking too close to the microphone.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
A little bit. But
yeah.
He was saying how he has had a lot of experiences where the same things happen seconds or almost at the same time. Words,
yeah, synchronicity.
Same words said. So, interesting stuff, yeah.
On the media.
I missed a lot of it, too. Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you repeat the first anecdote, Michael, so we get one of them.
Okay, so can you hear me better? Because I think what happened, my when I put my phone down, the jack unimpinged.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. All right. So the first event tonight, we're watching...
No, we heard that. What did you start off with? You started off like something.
So on the Netflix show called Heal, at 48 minutes, there's a doctor of chiropractic doctor, and he talks about the imprinting that we had when we were young, and if we reacted in this upsetting or stressful situation at that point, we don't go into that feeling, so we get blocked at that level of interaction. So last night, as I was watching that, it said to Gloria, he was sitting next to me.
And now you're fading out.
Okay, I'm sorry. Any better?
Don't move your mouth or whatever you're doing. Why do you start fading out?
All right. Any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, I'll hold the microphone here. So we're watching at 48 minutes of Heal.
No. So you were quoting this chiropractor and you thought he sounded ionic, right?
Well, it's exactly what Michael Brown has stated in the presence process, and exactly what Ion has says, that you won't ever overcome that limitation unless you face it. And to me, the easiest way to face it is to do drops, because you don't give a fuck about anything, and you just like experience it, and then you just like, okay, I got through that, and what's next?
Yeah, it's a good way to cheat.
No, it's not cheating. It's getting above that little man mentality that Carolyn and Ion have been talking about.
Yeah.
Because you're not restricted. Being on drops, you're not restricted to anything that you ever could create or understand or interact with on your own. Because you're just, you know, when you're on drops, you're just capable of being in the moment, and that's the presence process. So that's pretty interesting.
Okay, well, that's a good point. I'm glad we got you to repeat it. I didn't get what you were saying. So do you take all the products or just the drops?
I take Restructure every morning, first thing in the morning. Then I take drops and have Whitestone in a drop bottle that is like almost like chalk. That I take at work, and I use a chopstick and dig it out and just keep on pouring it into my mouth. And then I do lithium orotate and mucuniperines, which is L-dopamine, with tea, green tea every morning. And then, I wake up most mornings feeling so good that it's almost illegal.
And you said you take, you scoop out the dry RNA stone, the white stone at the bottom?
Yeah.
Does the bottle replenish itself, or do you do that every bottle?
Well, actually, I get a rebob. And, at least once a month. And
yeah.
So when it gets to within maybe an eighth of an inch of the bottle, I just open the next bottle. So.
Yeah. And then you save, and then you have the powder at work, or whatever you call it, the stone.
I just took the bottle with me. I'm over holidays. I'm in North Carolina now, like probably about 15 miles from, or 13 miles from Morrisville. And,
right.
So it's kind of warm. So I just take the white stone and throw it in my car. And out of 6 years, I've only missed taking drops one day. Which is like, but when I take the white stone, or if I like have to deal with like really interesting and challenging computer concepts, or I don't have a clue as what direction to go into, I'll just take the restructure and extra drops. And then at some point, it just all just unravels. I'll be like, wow.
Right, right. I mean, you have a very high-tech job. Now, Linda says, yep, Michael sounds totally out of it and stoned on something and not the drops. No, no, he doesn't. Michael
no,
has a high-tech left-hemisphere job that he's
no,
got to work on and computers.
Linda,
shut up, Michael. Let me make my sentence.
Okay.
Can't you hear me?
Yes, of course.
Okay, don't talk over me. So Michael is got this high-tech job where he has to think, I guess, with his left hemisphere, but he needs right hemisphere inspiration, so he takes the drops every now and then. Michael, the way he sounds now, he always sounds this way, and he doesn't sound out of it to me.
Well, thank you. But Linda, you are right. I do edibles, and I also had some wine tonight. I was writing a computer code for JPR Digital in India and how to do SFMPEG, which is encoding for video. And then Bob's music came on, and I was just like, all right, I got a call. I got to indulge. So here I am.
What did you indulge in?
Oh, I did some weed, and then I called. So
right.
But I could not... From based on what you and Mark were talking about on the recording and chat, I had to call in, and that's why I called in. Usually, I listen on my my earbuds, or I'll listen on the computer.
And why did you have to call in?
Because everything that you were talking, like the whole ion thing that you were playing before, I had to call in.
Okay. To touch it? You wanted to touch
no,
the
to,
live air.
No, to acknowledge the fact that like your product, the empire you're building, how great people are going to feel. You know, Carolyn was talking about some doctor wanted her to become part of his 10% scam. You know,
yeah.
So, and then I had to call in, and you know, so to attest to the fact that it's incredible. I would rather do drops than probably anything that I can do by myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So
the drops are the best for you. They seem to affect you the most, or you can notice it the most from them.
Oh, yeah, but everyone who I've gone on them, they even have better stuff to say. So.
Yeah, you're spreading it around a lot. I remember you talking about that a year or so ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's Linda. Thank you for that. I know what I know. I know, when someone is altered through a substance involved. His story is great, just my perception.
Linda,
she's listening.
All right. Okay. Yeah, but sometimes you have to get out of your own perception and into another perceptive possibility to perceive probable psychological plays. Right. I like to go down the whole P's.
Right. Greg says, Bob can't tell when people are stoned on drugs. I'm so tolerant. Doesn't matter what consciousness you bring to me, it doesn't occur to me to be stoned.
But the nice thing is, right, is you don't indulge, but you don't judge. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't judge. I've been around too long. How do I fuck it? What do I base it on?
Well,
no standards work.
But then if you judge, I think you kind of close yourself off.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows that. But the mind judges, though. They get lost in their mind. Greg says, there's a story here. You have a story, Michael. I don't know if he means that we didn't hear what you said or Greg gets great significance out of what you're hearing and we heard it clearly. What is the point, Greg? What are you trying to say? And Gene says, Michael is having fun. Greg earlier said that Trump's right. There are too many drugs coming to the USA. And Netflix is dangerous, like a drug. I guess you're watching Netflix, right?
That's funny.
Right. Okay, so stay on. Let's just see what else is going on here. I had asked Susanna to talk. And
okay, I'm
many hours
myself.
Ago.
Cool.
Okay. Right, I'll
Thanks
bring you back in.
Bob.
You're welcome. So, Susanna, what did you like to talk about?
Well, it occurred to me that I've never heard you explain what lockdown Bob Rule is.
Okay, well,
so can you tell us just what that would be?
Yes. Do you know what the word lockdown refers? What's it refer to you? What's it mean to you, lockdown, when you hear that?
When you're in a like a hospital and some infection comes in and they lock down the place so that people can't get in or out, or a school
right.
lockdown when there's a gunman loose. So
okay, so yeah, that's the normal meaning, and I meant the normal meaning. So I said after Toronto, going in the 90s, you'll see it says lockdown Bob Rule on my chart. That meant that I was in a kind of prison, and that would be New York City mainly, and I had just waited for something to give, and then that happened in 2009. So that was one meaning of lockdown. Also, lockdown Bob Rule can mean that I lock you fuckers down, and I'm the warden. I meant it both ways. Who's choking?
Mm.
Is that you, Susanna? Are you choking?
No, not me.
Or Brent? I think that's Brent. So you see, I meant it both ways. I lock down you guys, the whole world, and same time, I'd be locked down. So, you know, it's the responsibility of being a king. You know, great. Roxy was just telling me, she always likes reading up on the aristocrats, Louis XIV. She says, man, they really were interesting people, but they were imprisoned in their role, really imprisoned. They couldn't move, you know, they had to do what everybody expected. And McLuhan talks a lot about that. You know, the audience is the employer, not the leaders. So those are the mundane meanings of lockdown Bob Rule that I meant when I made the chart in 95. But when Ian showed up, he brought in a whole other meaning of it. It looked like I'd already been doing lockdown as Ophanel for thousands of years. So it became a wider meaning, which I think you would understand if you think of the Ionic situation today, where we are on top of the mountain and everybody else is subservient or inside or like Michael begging for the drops, you know, and has to stay on them. That's a kind of lockdown. And then turned out I was the dark, what was I, the dark angel? I forget the term.
Dark soul.
Was. The dark soul. I was the dark soul. So that's a new dimension to it. So like everything I did before Ian showed up, it was prophetic, but, you know, thin compared to the actual reality we're in now.
So are you implying am I understanding a bit of a, what's the word, malevolent tone with lockdown Bob Rule now?
No, I think I brought the joy to it, and he put me in a state of bliss or being with Ion put me in a state of bliss, so it was a lot more pleasant than what I was thinking lockdown Bob Rule meant before Ion. I thought it was a kind of responsibility.
Oh.
But I don't have much responsibility in that sense anymore. I just have the ability to respond.
And it's flipped now with Ion in the products in that we're all locked down, not you.
Well, I don't think, no, you're not locked down. You're just ever expanding. you will put yourself in lockdowns to get your balance, but yeah, lockdown Bob Rule, it's more my condition, not yours.
Oh. Hmm. Okay.
But I think because
so
that's the way
it
is.
Has it descended
just a minute,
you,
Bob? Just a minute. Hold it. That's the ground. So the figure would make it seem like this is kind of a cult and you're imprisoned. Right? That's the way it'll appear, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you started to say something, Brent?
Has it descended you? Are you a servant to us?
Well, I just typed. If it was Ion typing in those odd chats with the statement in the, where the name is in red, Susanna pointed that out. It could be Ion. They mentioned ascension, and I said, "Well, ascension is obsolete." And that's a very profound statement. If you use McLuhan's definition, obsolete, that means it'll become prevalent, you know, universal. And Ion talks about ascension process and the new state, the new song involves everybody that survives, that stays, that is here. And even those that go will come back by default. So, what was I saying there? So ascension is obsolete. That's really what Ian's saying. Ian came to say school's out, no more lessons to learn. And did you see what I posted about the word no longer creates?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I actually have a little bit of a development on that. I was listening to the mashups, Bart's mashups, and Ian talks about the OA and the movements and to pay attention to the deep, the guttural noises that are made and the not energy, but the feeling place of linking the movements. And I think it was particularly the third and the fourth. And I thought that may have been a piece to the words don't create, that it's not the actual guttural noise that's being made, but the physiological response of engaging the diaphragm like that. And I've just seen that in my own life.
What movements you're talking about? What movements?
Do you remember the OA series?
Oh, yeah, OA. I know what you mean. Yes, I thought that's what you meant. And I am saying that was indicative of something significant, that show.
Right, and Bert said, is the fourth movement showing the expanding of the pericardium? And Ian said, yes. And Ian said, pay attention to that deep guttural noise, the power that comes from that. And I don't think it's that words are words don't create any longer, and you have to use
they don't
a
create, but they're
tonality.
Powerful. Ian says they're powerful, but he didn't say the difference. But he said words are powerful, but they don't create anymore. So there's some power
right.
in words.
But they may just be, I mean, they're powerful for the little people too, and tonality in your voice is powerful as well. But Ion said that things like frequency and tonality don't matter to the ascended person.
Did he actually say that?
He has said similar stuff, that the frequency, tonality, the what's it called? Hendiades, that those don't matter to the ascended person. So my thinking
right.
is it's that feeling place of speaking from the diaphragm of that powerful commanding presence through your voice, but it doesn't actually matter what comes out of the vocal cords anymore. It's that feeling in the belly, and it's all physiological because it's expanding, the pericardium's expanding. That's going to affect the way the diaphragm is anatomically in the body. So I think the simplest response would be that the words don't create because it's purely a physiological phenomenon now.
Well, that's a good idea.
And
we will incorporate
and
that.
You know what you know what you're describing, Brent, right there, physiologically? Exhaling.
What's that?
exhaling.
Yes. Yes, it's the guttural exhaling, the strong exhale, pushing it out.
And Ian has said several times that we only exhale.
Right.
I have not heard that. That's good.
Yes. You know, when you inhale, you take in oxygen, and oxygen is a condition of the little man. Oxygen will diminish a lot. You won't need it as much. Mm-hmm. Less inhaling.
Yes, and Ion's speech patterns are almost like he doesn't have to take a breath, or he doesn't space out like you would speak, Bob. You have nice spaces in between your voice, but Ion can start going like this, keep on talking. It's like rolling, on. And there's
that's a very good point. That's very good. That's that is indicative of him not inhaling. That's interesting. And he does it with eloquence, with natural, you know, good rhythms. Never misses a beat in his speech patterns. But the speed of it is pretty amazing. So then, Michael, you wanted to say something, I think, back there. You tried to say something, unless it was someone else.
Hi, no, Michael. I was on mute. Yeah, I was on mute. Yeah, one of the interesting things that came to mind with the diaphragm, and Ion speaking about, like, the whole felt sense of how you interact, was Tuesday night. Bob, I sent you an image. Tuesday night, I was driving home, and it was my friend's birthday in New Jersey, and I wanted to shoot an image of cherry trees in blossom. And I'm driving down the road, and I'd have to do a U-turn to see these trees, and I go, I'll just go closer to where I live. So I'm within a half mile where I live, and I see an industrial complex, which is probably 10 years old, so it's pretty cool. There's three palm trees on the left, and there's a one-way street. I do a loop, go down the right way to exit, and I pull up to these cherry blossom trees. And I take a picture of a small one, and then I take a picture of two, offset by maybe 30 degrees from one another. And I take a picture, and I drive home, and I go to send the picture to Leah. And as I send it, and I said, spring's here. You know, after I send it, I blow it up. And I saw this, like, little spot, and I didn't know what it was. And then I initially thought, it must be a the back of a streetlight that is immersed between the leaves of the tree. And I blow it up, and it has the resemblance, like, probably about 70% clarity or opaqueness of a possum, which I initially thought was a rat, a cartoon rat. And Natasha from Bowieville and Natasha face that was almost like the Screamer, that famous painting, the Screamer.
Yeah.
Immersed in the center of the tree. And I sent it to you probably about an hour ago, Bob. And it was, like, so cool. And then I just realized, you know, like what Ion had said years ago, that when we see orbs or when we see double suns or triple suns, or we see, like, a cloud pattern that is indicative of, like, you know, like some type of physical form, and we see that in a picture, but we don't see it through our eyes, is because, you know, digital photography hasn't been biased by the energetic distribution of ionic materials that represent elements of our life. So, you know, everything I think that you can interact with to a certain extent could be, you know, opening up emotionally, physically, and then, like, that whole thing about attraction and the secret. I think if you just open up to it, then you start to see influences of your life
and your like focus point bouncing back as if it was a boomerang. And Fion has mentioned a lot of that stuff, you know, to a degree. And it's so cool to be in a situation where, I'm experiencing it on a near regular basis. And the last interaction I had with Ion was I was leaving like a Mumford and Son concert in New Jersey on the Seaside Harbor Boardwalk, and I just happened to call in, and I just thanked Ion for all of the Ionic experience I had, and he goes, "Do you want more, big boy?" And I said, "Yes, bring it." And it's been so incredible. Like for instance, I was working at Wells Fargo Bank from 2017. I drove down on November 12th and started on November 13th, 2017. I'm working here at Boring Project. And then they had to cut budget 10%, so they couldn't renew any new contracts. So I just got like, all right, you know, your last day is November 12th or 9th or whatever. So I'm like, okay, I get a job at Bank of America on November 13th, 2018, learning better technology and in a cooler setting on the exact same day a year later without skipping a beat. And people say that's impossible. And the reason why that shit happens is I don't even think about it. I just like, oh, you know, what's going to happen next? That's going to be interesting. I just like laugh. It's cool. And then what I was saying about, talking about at the beginning of the show, when, like, Bob, you can attest to this, and Mark was asking you the attributes of when you don't have to worry about money and you're all about the money or bank. And then, you know, the emphasis was on how little you're concerned with money. So apply that to life. Like when you don't really care about something, it has no other reason to come into your life because it's not being pulled. So for instance, in my friend Ed's football pool, I would never check my numbers, and I won the most. And I never selected a box, and I got times I'd win 3,000 or 4,000 and stuff like that. So
what's the name of that thing you're talking about? What did you win?
The Super Bowl.
Oh.
Box.
Okay.
Yeah, and I won like 3,000, 4,000. But I never picked a number. I never even looked at the number. I didn't care. Ed would call me and goes, "Hey, you won 2,000. I'm like, "Oh, that's great." You know, and last time.
Well, how come you never, how'd you win if you didn't pick a number? Something else picked the number for you?
I just pay him. I said, "Pick my box. Don't tell me the numbers." And,
oh, I see.
You know, I just, and then I realized at some point, and this is well after probably about 3 years into the drafts, that of course I win because I am not like hoping for those numbers. So it's easier for the outcome of the game to go into a situation where I'm going to win those, like I'm going to win simply because, you know, I didn't give a fuck. And that's what you're saying. When you have money or you have bank, you don't care about it in multiplies. When you have women and you don't care about getting other pussy, which is bad, it's a good thing. And then the other thing is when you don't care about the outcome of certain events and it just happens and it's just like, so interesting.
Right. I think Ion says that magnetism pushes things away. So when you get excited about getting something, I think you're increasing your magnetic factor, and it'll push the what you want away.
I don't know. Well, I started off to say that I don't care about the outcome, and it comes really cool, and then I'm just like amazed by it. It's like so.
Well, you're not excited beforehand.
No.
See, so you're not pushing it away by inflating your magnetism.
But then the appreciation, and it just becomes more and more a part of the wave or energy or dynamic that you kind of experience.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so someone else want to say something, Gene or Susanna?
Well, Michael said that when you have a woman, you don't need any other pussy, and I think generally that's quite backwards. I just had to jump in there and point it out. Isn't that like the stereotypical problem with men, that they're never happy with their wives?
Oh, man.
So I just got to dissect that one.
Yeah, so here's my take.
But I get what you were saying.
So here's my take on it from Byron's perspective. He also said that...
Okay, fix your mic.
Okay.
Get your muffled again.
Am I okay?
Yeah, now you are okay. What'd you do to change it?
I hold it up to right in front of my lips rather than letting it like go to my chin. So,
well, maybe as you're stoned, since you're stoned, you just, you know, knock it down and get out of the
way. I'm still...
Michael, you're stoned?
I was earlier. I've been coding for the last 3 hours. So Ion also says that if you're going to interact with pussy and wreck it, like you're going to jail the next day, well, you don't have to worry about anything else. And I think that's probably the best advice that I've ever heard from Ion.
Okay, what is the advice? I didn't get what you said. What is the advice?
Ion said if you're going to be with a woman and you're going to treat her and, you know, just make her, like, experience so much pleasure as if it was your last day before you're going to prison, step up your repertoire, however you say that, then you don't have to worry about pussy. And exactly.
Okay, I got it.
Well, that's the other end of Ion's conversation regarding pussy, because he also says if you don't have any, then you should not worry about it, and you should just be more concerned about pleasing yourself, and then you'll find somebody that really likes you for the fact that you're very selfish, which I think is actually true.
Interesting. How old are you?
I'm 22.
All right. So there's this guy, Corey Wayne, and start watching his stuff on YouTube, and it's relationships something or another. But
what's his name? Corey Wayne?
Yeah. And
look at that.
It's incredible. He says so many things as I'm watching or as I'm listening.
Oh, he's a dating coach. He's a pickup artist.
No, he's not a pickup artist. He's a relationship coach. That's the difference, right? And he will say something like as I mentioned earlier. I was reading about some woman who was in the Advertising Hall of Fame from Bank of America. As he said, Jerry Rice, a Hall of Fame receiver. There was like at least 10 things that I have within the last month where I would be either listening to his stuff or reading or, you know, like, a perfect example is, where do I start? And hearing someone like 3 or 4 cubes away say, that's where I like to start. You know, like almost instantaneously. My friends who are on drops have the exact same thing occurring. So it's just really, really interesting.
And I got to get some nouns. What was occurring? You were talking about somebody on TV. Then what happened? What are you saying?
No, I was listening to a podcast, and words that he was saying would be something I was reading or something he would say. And in complete, like, non-linear, exact timing. Yeah, it was like so crazy. So it's so much fun.
That's